It's now time for the Political Junkie.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Ich bin ein Berliner.
Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
But I'm the decider.
It's not even 2007 yet. All the talk is about 2008. We'll get an update on the latest news in the presidential playing field. Yes, there are other hopefuls besides Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, otherwise known as Barackstar, plus a conversation with the chairman of the American Conservative Union about the search for the perfect conservative candidate. What questions do you have about the race for 2008 and other news from the week in politics? Our number, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. You can also email comments to talk@npr.org. And Ken Rudin joins us here in Studio 3A. He's NPR's political editor and our political junkie. Hey, Ken.
Hi, Neil.
Lots of announcements in the past week, but first let's talk about one contender who's decided to drop out of the running before most people knew he was even in it. That's Evan Bayh of Indiana.
Bayh, exactly. I mean, he had raised a ton of money. He has $10 million in his bank account. Only 2 weeks ago, he had formed an exploratory committee. He had been visiting Iowa and New Hampshire nonstop. I mean, he was clearly, actually, as the moment he was elected governor in 1988 in Indiana, he was thought of as a possible presidential candidate. But he's just said no. He just, you know, sadly, he said he's not going to run.
Mm-hmm. He was described himself as a David in a field of Goliaths. Is it getting harder for presidential hopefuls, even when they come out as early as this, to establish, what's that favorite word of presidential advisors, traction?
Well, you'd think that given the fact that it's an open presidency, there's no incumbent president or vice president running, it should be a wide open Democratic field. But if your first name is not Hillary or if it's not Barack, then it becomes another thing altogether. If we were looking for an alternative to Hillary Clinton, that would be one thing. But once Barack Obama said in October on Meet the Press that he was considering running, that he was thinking about running in 2008, then everybody else who was hoping to get some traction, Joe Biden, Wesley Clark, Bill Richardson, the governor of New Mexico, Chris Dodd, and Evan Bayh, it'll be harder and harder for them to get notice and attention.
If you'd like to join our conversation, our number is 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. Tony is on the line with us. Tony calling from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right.
I had a question. I just saw, and I'm not even sure I know his name right, Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack. Is that correct?
You got it right.
On the Daily Show the other day, and I was really impressed just with his personality, I guess, and I wonder, does he even have a shot, and I don't know that much about him. Can you tell me anything and what you think his chances are?
Ken Rudin?
Well, he was on Al Gore's shortlist for vice president. He's a pro-choice Catholic. He has a very compelling personal story. He decided to retire. He was not term limited. He decided to retire as governor of Iowa this year so he could look at presidential politics. He has announced his candidacy. Of course, to say he's spending a lot of time in Iowa is, well, he's a governor of Iowa. But you know, theoretically, he has a chance like anybody else does. But again, when you have these two giants in the room, it'll be just tough to get noticed. And I think that's why he announced as early as he did.
Well, he does also have the advantage of an important caucus in his state very early in the process.
Well, but we saw that in 1992, Tom Harkin, the senator from Iowa, also ran for president. And because Harkin was from Iowa, the Iowa caucuses meant nothing. Bill Clinton didn't even compete in Iowa caucuses. Tom Harkin won the caucuses overwhelmingly and hasn't been heard from since. The difference, of course, this time is that everybody will compete in Iowa and Tom Vilsack will not get a free ride.
Okay. Tony, thanks very much for the call.
Thanks, guys.
Another Democrat, though, who has thrown his name into the ring, again from last time around, John Edwards.
Now, this is very interesting. John Edwards is about to announce his candidacy, we think, December 28th in New Orleans. Now, John Edwards is a very kind of a populist kind of guy who could make the case that the federal government failed the people in New Orleans, the Gulf Coast, following Katrina. So
and that's where he's going to make his announcement, in New Orleans. Yeah.
But he's also doing it on December 28th when there's not many people are paying attention to the news, let alone reading a paper or listening to NPR. Well, they should be listening to NPR. But so it'll be tough to get a notice. But again, Edwards has been campaigning ever since the 2004 election when he was the Democratic vice presidential nominee. And he apparently is also doing very, very well in Iowa.
Okay. Let's see if we can get another caller in. And this is Bill. Bill from Ithaca, New York. Bill, you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. I was wondering about the possibility of Al Gore running. He certainly has lost some of that woodenness that he had in the first run. And, of course, I think a perfect ticket would be Al Gore with Barack Obama as vice president.
Mm-hmm. Al Gore certainly got a lot of attention from, you know, the documentary film that is now touted as the Oscar favorite.
Right. That says Borat. No, I'm sorry. No. But actually, look, a lot of people say that if the war is the key issue in 2008, and I suspect it will be, that Al Gore, unlike Hillary Clinton, unlike John Kerry, unlike John Edwards, was against the war from the beginning, and he has that going for him. But he says over and over again that he doesn't plan to run. It'll be an amazing spectacle to see the thought of him challenging his running mate's wife, if that's the case, if he runs against Hillary Clinton for the nomination. But Gore says no, he doesn't plan to do it, but he has not ruled it out.
Bill, thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. And let's talk about a Republican hopeful. Former Republican Governor of Virginia James Gilmore announced that he may decide to run for president. James Gilmore?
Well, sure, why not? But, I mean, the point is that some of the key conservative Republicans who were thinking about 2008 are no longer around. Certainly George Allen, who was a leading conservative for 2008, was defeated for re-election last month. Rick Santorum had some ideas, too, and he was defeated in Pennsylvania. So what Jim Gilmore said yesterday is that, look, I'm a former Republican National Committee chairman. There is no other committed conservative out in the field. And that struck me as interesting because if you think of the top three Republicans who are ostensibly running, John McCain, Mitt Romney, the outgoing governor of Massachusetts, and Rudy Giuliani, the former mayor of New York City, all three of them, none of them can be considered a true committed conservative. I think Gilmore is trying to reach out to that conservative base of the Republican Party.
Well, let's talk some more about conservative options for 2008. Joining us now is David Keene, the chairman of the American Conservative Union, who's with us here in Studio 3A. Mr. Keene, very nice of you to come in.
Pleasure to be with you.
And given those that field, as you look at it for 2008, again, a lot of things can change between now and then. What do you think the outlook is for conservatives?
Well, at this point, Ken and Jim Gilmore are exactly right, and that is that the perfect conservative candidate, or the candidate who has a real claim on conservative activist support, is not in the field. And that's what Gilmore is playing mm-hmm. for. He's hoping that that out there in the country, conservatives will look at all of these other folks and for one reason or another say, well, not him, not him, not him, maybe Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that'll happen, of course, is another story. But as I look at the 2008 race on the Republican side, it is wide open, and it's really going to be two races. One is going to be a race among all of these folks from Jim Gilmore to Mitt Romney to Sam Brownback to Tommy Thompson and whoever else to decide who's going to be the non-McCain in the race to run against John McCain, who will be the other candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And in that race, I think the question of how it comes out is going to depend on two things. One is whether or not John McCain, who has the asset of having the largest personal base in the party and the liability of probably having the lowest ceiling of support in the party. In other words, there are a lot of Republicans who just don't like him, whether that race takes place early or late. In other words, if a single challenger to McCain emerges early, then John McCain may have a problem. If a single challenger does not emerge relatively early, then McCain has to be viewed as sort of the odds-on favorite for the nomination.
Would Newt Gingrich, who's also considering a run, he was on Meet the Press the other day.
Well, Newt Gingrich is also considering a run. He's sort of playing the Gilmore game without announcing a committee,
mm-hmm.
hoping that everyone will implode and they'll all turn to Newt. So you've got a number of sort of second and third tier potential candidates laying back there saying none of these top tier candidates have really got what the market's looking for, and when the customers get a good look at them, then we're going to have our chance.
Mm-hmm. What is it that a lot of people said, you know, John McCain has a real good shot at getting elected president, but a real tough shot at getting the Republican nomination?
Well, I personally think he has a tough shot on both sides, but certainly he has a tough problem getting the nomination. As I said, he has the largest personal base in the party, maybe 30%, maybe something like that, which in a field of 6 or 7 isn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that for a whole bunch of reasons, a lot of Republicans just don't like John McCain, and they have the sense that he just doesn't like them.
Mm.
And as a result, they don't trust him. And as a result, it's going to be difficult for him to get to him. You know, if you take the two of the big names now mentioned, McCain and Romney, McCain is somebody who everybody in the party has an opinion of, good or bad. Romney is something of a blank slate. And if you're entering into this kind of contest, there's some advantage to having a few blanks on the board that you can fill in to try and attract support.
Are you dismissing America's mayor, Rudy Giuliani?
My own feeling is that certainly you can't dismiss somebody like with the force of personality that Giuliani's got and the ability to put together money, which he also has. My own feeling, though, and I could be wrong about this, I've been wrong in the past, is that his present position in the polls is the result of his celebrity, not of his potential political pull. And I think that as a candidate, he brings a lot of disadvantages to the table that it's going to make it difficult for him to make much of a sale. On the other hand, he's going to have impact on the race because a lot of his support will be support that if he weren't in the race would, in fact, probably go to John McCain.
Here's an email we have from Dan in Minnesota. Republicans, he writes, have always liked generals. Wouldn't Colin Powell be an ideal presidential candidate in 08? Little political baggage, lots of gravitas, a true patriot. He has it all.
Colin Powell at one point some years ago thought about running and decided not to. I don't think that there's any likelihood that he's going to run at this point. I think you may not see the whole field yet, but you see most of it.
Mm-hmm. Here's another email from Elliot in Kansas City. What about Jeb Bush, 2008?
If his name weren't Bush, he would be the conservative favorite. Conservatives consider Jeb Bush to be one of the two or three most able governors in the country, a consistent conservative, somebody who understands and is interested in issues, and who, if it weren't for the fact that, first, the American people in any circumstances aren't all that dynastically inclined, and under current circumstances
ask Ted Kennedy, yeah,
aren't much interested in a Bush dynasty, Jeb could be the front runner. Hmm. But timing and politics and luck is everything. And timing and luck are not on his side.
We're talking with David Keene, the chairman of the American Conservative Union, and with Ken Rudin, NPR's political junkie. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's even get a caller on the line. And this is Boyd. Boyd calling from Milwaukee.
Thank you, Neil. Thank you, gentlemen. Mr. Keene, I believe it was, Colin Powell was just brought up. One of my questions was, he did mention Tommy Thompson, although his politics aren't mine. What do you think the chances of Thompson throwing his hat in the ring and possibly Powell just on the same basis is that they both left the Bush administration after the first term, and since Bush has really fallen in the ratings, they could find a way to use this to their advantage if both of them did decide to throw their hat in the ring?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think that is a particular advantage to either one in the Republican primary. I always suggest to potential candidates that want to distance themselves from their party's president in seeking the nomination, they ought to go ask Al Gore how that worked for him. no matter what kinds of problems the incumbent president of your party's having, it's better to have been a supporter than not. Tommy and Colin Powell, however, are not opponents of George Bush. I have a soft spot in my heart for Tommy because we were once roommates at the University of Wisconsin. But I think that his difficulty is even greater than Jim Gilmore's because it's harder for him to carve out a position to which people might eventually rally. On the other hand, he figures he's close to Iowa and what the heck.
Thanks very much for the call, Boyd. Let's get this is Leon. Leon's on the line with us from Athens, Ohio.
Hi, Neil. I appreciate your show today. As an African American, I'm a moderate, and in the last election, I voted Democrat. I do fear it would be a mistake democratically, I believe, for the Democrats who are standing in a great position to put someone like Hillary or Barack Obama up as their front runner. It's almost as if popularity, and like your guest that's in the studio with you, is speaking about popularity being one thing, but having character to do the job. Not that they need one of those people to have character, but I think the nation, if we really want to be honest, and it has shown itself, is not ready for a female president or a minority president. And I'd like you to speak to that. And then I'd like you to speak to someone I think is more moderate, but he hasn't put his name up, but somebody like a Jack Kemp, who seems to be able to pull from both sides and seems to be down the middle, and speak about Joe Biden.
Okay, well, on the Democratic side, why don't we ask Ken Rudin to weigh in on the Obama and Clinton?
Well, for Hillary Clinton, I don't think the argument against her is so much that she's female as that she's Hillary Clinton, and she has a lot of baggage coming from the years as First Lady, and she's a very divisive figure. There are people who love her, and there are people who just can't stand her, and there are more Democrats than Republicans who have told me that they fear the worst thing the Democrats could do is put up a Hillary Clinton. Now, having said that, Barack Obama doesn't have any of those negatives, and maybe that's part of the problem that he has, you know, as David King was talking about Mitt Romney, and almost like a blank slate. But he's, you know, there are a lot of people who just feel that there's, you know, an absence of strength, of hope in this country, and Barack Obama would bring that.
And very quickly to David King, Jack Kemp.
Well, of course, Jack ran for president once, and he ran for vice president, and didn't run very well on that track in either case. He's an attractive, appealing guy who's attracted to ideas. But frankly, I think as a presidential candidate, his days are past.
If there's one person in the field you could nominate right now, David Keene, who would it be?
I would have a difficult time selecting one, and that goes back to our initial question, who's the perfect conservative candidate? He or she doesn't exist.
David Keene, thanks very much for being with us today. David Keene is chairman of the American Conservative Union. He joined us here in Studio 3A, along with Ken Rudin, NPR's political junkie, whose latest column is up on the website.
Absolutely.
Go to npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And take over this beautiful land. And take over this beautiful land.